Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning and welcome to RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Karen Crow. Same great flavor you're used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Crot Springs is now located right here in Karen Crow at the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. You can come by and see us. I'll be broadcasting live from 6 to 9 today. The good brother Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, will be doing the same tomorrow afternoon between 4 and 7. We appreciate Billy's Boudin allowing us to come out here and broadcast live for both days. We got a lot to get to in today's show. Coming up in hour number 3, we're going to have our good friend Andrew Lopez, who just wrapped up a terrific career with NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. He's going to be breaking down New Orleans Pelicans' free agent moves. That'll be coming up at 8:32. At 7:32. Back from vacation, our good friend from the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo. He'll be joining us at 7:32, breaking down all things LSU football. We got plenty to get to. LSU football, Saints, there'll be a Louisiana wrap-up coming up, plus much, much more. And once again, we'll be broadcasting live right here from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Karen Crow in their new location, right off of I-49, that's exit 1C, the Pont de Mouton exit. But we got to start off with the big news of the day, or the big news yesterday, rather, was the Pelicans. And they made moves left and right. We didn't expect them to be making a huge splashy move, right? That's not what they're going to be doing. That's not what David Griffin is really about. It's not how he operates. Just isn't. They made smart moves. Once again, there's an emphasis with this team, with David Griffin as the vice president of basketball operations, and everything that he's building, bringing in Langdon as the general manager, poaching him away from the Brooklyn Nets organization, is that they're laying a foundation of young players. That's why they made the Anthony Davis trade. In return, they get Lonzo Ball, who's projected to be their starting point guard. They get Josh Hart, who's going to be a two-way player coming off the bench. They get Brandon Ingram, who's yet to really fully realize his potential. You could make the argument that all three Los Angeles Lakers players have yet to realize their potential. But they're young. They're 24 years or younger. So they still are babies in a lot of ways. So they trade for them. And they get a multitude of picks in return as well for Anthony Davis. Then they draft Zion Williamson, number 1 overall. Then they take the number 4 overall pick that they got from the Lakers. And what does David Griffin do? He flips it. He turns it into multiple picks. So he drafts again in the top 10 and then again in the top 20. The oldest player on this team was Etuan Moore at the age of 30, returning and coming back. Jrue Holiday, 29. Okay? So the whole emphasis during free agency, after having a tremendous draft and after that terrific haul that they got from the Los Angeles Lakers in the Anthony Davis trade, that they were looking to get some veteran leadership. They needed to get veterans in there to help the younger guys. And there was some speculation early on that they were going to go after someone like Al Horford. Al Horford had opted out of the last year of his deal with the Boston Celtics, a veteran big man. He played for so many years with the Atlanta Hawks, former Florida Gator star on those back-to-back national championship teams. But, you know, Al Horford is wanting a four-year deal at the age of 34. Four-year deal, contract north of $100 million. Well, look, the Pels are not going to do that. they want to provide veteran leadership. They want to bring in guys that are going to help this franchise and help those younger players grow and develop and maybe finally reach their potential of becoming all-star caliber players. But they're not going to overspend. David Griffin is not going to overspend. The first move they made yesterday is they went to Europe and got themselves a big who can shoot. Nicolo Melli. He played the last three seasons in the Euro League. He's a power forward. He finalized a two-year deal with the Pels. He's only 28 years old. He was the top scorer in the Euro League finals for Fenerbahce last season. So he's your typical stretch four. Think of a Chris Bosch type. He's a stretch four, power forward. He's only 28 years old. He was the top scorer in the finals last year. And here's another interesting tidbit courtesy of our friend Andrew Lopez, who will be joining us in hour number three, is he shot well over 40% from deep in his last three EuroLeague seasons. So you get an established EuroLeague player who can shoot the three. So you get a big that can shoot the three. That's exactly one of the needs that they had. That's why they were linked to several big guys that could come in. Look, the young man, Hayes, who they drafted out of Texas, he's only 19 years old. He's still a little thin. He's a typical center, 6'11" guy. But he's going to need some grooming. He's going to need some work. He's going to need some development. Okay? Here you go. You bring in a guy like this. Now, Melli may not even start, but he's a guy that can come in, give you minutes, stretch the floor, shoot the three. You needed shooters. As much talent that we believe this young core has with Zion Williamson, with Brandon Ingram, with Lonzo Ball, and, of course, with Drew Holiday, who's going to be the leader of this team, is they need shooters. So they get themselves a big and a big who can shoot. So you get two, you kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. That was the first move they made, a little under-the-radar move. They go over to Europe, get themselves a big who can stretch the floor. But then came the big news, and kind of a stunner, was the fact that they got J.J. Redick, the veteran three-point shooter. Two-year deal. And the Pelicans can now put on the floor an entire starting five of Duke players if they like. Their general manager is a former Duke player. Their number one overall pick is from Duke. Guys they got from the Lakers, one of them is from Duke. J.J. Redick, the deal is a two-year deal. It's fully guaranteed. It has no options. And they get themselves an established sharpshooter that can drain threes. And look, J.J. Redick has come a long way in his career. This is a guy who, in Duke history, he put up a lot of stats. But the knock on J.J. was he never was able to win big games. Or rather, the Blue Devils were never able to make a deep run with J.J. You know, when you look at the history of the tremendous talent that's come through and played for Coach K at Duke, a lot of those guys have those tournament resumes, and J.J. really never had one that stacked up to the likes of Bobby Hurley or Grant Hill or Elton Brand or any of those guys. But J.J. turned himself into a terrific three-point shooter in this league, starting early on with the Orlando Magic. He did the same playing for Doc Rivers and the Los Angeles Clippers when they were trying to put something together. Remember when they had Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick? All four of those guys are no longer there. And he played well for the Philadelphia 76ers. The contract's going to be worth $26.5 million over the 2 years. It's fully guaranteed. As I said, no options. Now, Redick is going to turn 35 years old. He just turned 35 years old, rather, back on June 24th. But he is coming off a career-best 18.1 points per game for the Philadelphia 76ers, helped them get to the second round of the playoffs. The Clippers were always in the postseason. So here you go. I understand that J.J. is 35 years old, but the guy shot 39.7% from deep, and he's a career 41% three-point shooter. He's 21st in NBA history in three-pointers made. He's 18th in career three-point percentage. Once again, you give yourself another veteran guy who can shoot the three. They needed shooters, so they get the European stretch four. They bring him in. He can shoot the ball, also gives them presence down low. Maybe help mentor, maybe not necessarily help mentor those younger guys like Okafor or Zion or anything like that, because he is going to be coming over from playing in Europe for 3 years. Doesn't really know the grind of the NBA and what that's all about. That said, you get another shooter, but you get JJ, who can come off the bench, and he can get you threes in bunches, and he can provide veteran leadership for the likes of Lonzo Ball, okay, Josh Hart. I mean, just the fact that you're going to have J.J. Redick on your team now and what he can do shooting the ball, that's going to carry over. Those other guys are going to kind of absorb what J.J. can do from three-point range, or at least you hope, because now New Orleans has a proven reliable shooter on the outside. Because Drew Holiday is only 32.5%, Lonzo Ball is only 32.9%, Brandon Ingram is only 33%, and Josh Hart is only 33.6% from three-point range all last season. So those guards and some of those forwards that they have, some of that young core, even Drew Holiday, who's 29, he's going to be the leader of this team, they don't have just pure shooters. They don't have the guys like Golden State has, and J.J. can shoot the lights out of a gym. But now they got themselves a spot-up shooter. But the Pels were not done. So they signed the big stretch four. They add their fifth former Duke Blue Devil to the roster by giving J.J. Redick the two-year deal. But then there were some rumblings last night. They address their needs. But then the news started coming out, courtesy of Woj and then also Zach Lowe, that New Orleans was closing in on a deal to trade for Derek Favors of the Utah Jazz. Woj reported that the Pelicans are sending the 2021 and the 2023 second-round picks that they got from the Golden State Warriors in the draft night trade from a few weeks ago in a trade for Favors. Why is that significant? Because Derek Favors can start off right off the bat now and be your starting center and let the young man out of Texas take the time to develop, to grow, and to mature. And you also have a veteran player that can not only do that for your typical center that you got out of Texas, but someone that can mentor Zion Williamson. And you didn't have to break the bank like you would have if you went after Al Horford, who ended up signing a massive deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. So apparently they're going to give up those two second-round picks they got for Golden State, their future second-round picks that they got from Golden State. They're going to trade them to Utah. And the reason why Utah's parting ways with a good player like Derek Favors is that they were aggressive in free agency when they got Bogdanović, poached him away from the Milwaukee Bucks. They didn't need Derek Favors anymore. Now, Favors is set to make $17.65 mil next season. With the moves that the New Orleans Pelicans have been making, including a couple minor moves of getting some low-level bench guys off the roster, they can afford Derek Favors. So they went out and they were smart. They got themselves a stretch four out of Europe. Then they got themselves a sharpshooter in J.J. Redick, who can come in, shoot the three, help those other guys learn how to shoot the three ball. And then they got themselves their big, a veteran, double-double player that can help Zion Williamson and alleviate some of the pressure off the big fella, the phenom out of Duke, who can play the traditional power four position, and Favors can handle the center duties and can handle some of that dirty work and mentor the younger players. This is a tremendous move. Favors is only 28 years old. That's it. 28. So they add Nikola Melli from Euro, J.J. Redick, and now going to be trading Derek Favors, who was the number three pick in the 2010 draft. Last year, Favors averaged nearly 12 points and 7.5 rebounds while blocking 1.5 shots per game in about 24 minutes per night. Tremendous, tremendous free agent period. First 24 hours for the New Orleans Pelicans. We got to hit a break. You're listening to RP3 and Company live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins here in Karen Crow. Right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins here in Karen Grove. It's their new location. It's the same great flavor you're used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Carot Springs. It's just located right now in Karen Crow, here at the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. You can come see me inside the store and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed Boudin balls and even drive through and never leave your car. That's right. They have a drive through. So I'm guaranteeing you that I will probably hit that bad boy up before I leave today. We started off today's show talking about New Orleans Pelicans and the moves they made in free agency. Once again, they got themselves a stretch four out of the Euro leagues. Guy that can shoot around 40% from three. They also went out and got themselves J.J. Redick, veteran guy, 35 years old, sharp shooter, known for being able to come off the bench or start. Fairly good defender, but known for being able to shoot more than 40% from three-point range. So that addresses some of their three-point needs. Then they also went out and got themselves, reports have that they're trading for Derek Favors, a longtime Utah Jazz big man, traditional center, but he can also play the four if you need him to. And that's what he was able to do last year. He filled in some from Rudy Gobert, but also was able to come in and play also the four spot. So Derek Favors, this is a guy that can be nearly a double-double kind of guy, double-digit scorer, about 8 rebounds a game. He also is going to block a few shots. More of a traditional center. That said, it gives them depth, and now it gives them a veteran that can help develop Zion Williamson, help mentor him, also help mentor the young man out of Texas that they took also in the top 10 in the lottery when they took the number 4 overall pick from the Los Angeles Lakers and the Anthony Davis trade and then flipped that to the Atlanta Hawks. But it just wasn't all about the pills yesterday. NBA free agency was a little crazy. So, I mentioned Al Horford leaving the Celtics. He joined the Philadelphia 76ers. He signed himself a $109 million deal. He is 33 years old. He signed a 4-year, $109 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. The 76ers also re-signed Tobias Harris. So, they add Al Horford. They re-sign Tobias Harris. They still have Ben Simmons. And, of course, they have Joel Embiid. So they're pretty much their core together. On the move, Jimmy Butler. Now, Jimmy Butler spent about 6 months with the Philadelphia 76ers after being traded from the Minnesota Timberwolves during the season. He's on his way to the Miami Heat, of all places. That's going to be, reports are, that's going to be a sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler to go to the Miami Heat. Now, if you're the Miami Heat, this is a move that you probably needed to do. You needed to become better. You needed to have someone that's going to lead your franchise. Dwayne Wade's no longer there. Jimmy is a star. He's also known for pushing his teammates. Sometimes that goes over well. Sometimes it doesn't. It did not go over well in Minnesota. He wants to be the best. He wants his teammates to be the best. He's tenacious. It's the way he plays the game. That's also how he is with his teammates. Some teammates respond to that. Others do not. We'll see if a fresh start in Miami will do wonders for Jimmy Butler, who apparently worked well with the guys in Philadelphia. Miami is going to be sending guard Josh Richardson to Philadelphia as part of the deal. And then apparently Miami is going to also ship off others like Goran Dragic to the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, who are apparently hell-bent on creating an all-Euro team after trading for Kristaps Porzingis in the offseason. And then, obviously, they have the rookie in the year also on their roster. Like I said, the Philadelphia 76ers retained Tobias Harris for a five-year, $180 million deal. So those are some things shaking up in the Eastern Conference. With Al Horford leaving the Boston Celtics, he joins the 76ers. Tobias Harris re-signs with the 76ers on a massive five-year, $180 million deal. Jimmy Butler leaves the 76ers. He's apparently going in a sign-and-trade to the Miami Heat. But the big news of the night has to be the Brooklyn Nets, who got not one but two guys. The Nets are signing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. Kevin Durant left the five-year Supermax deal that was on the table with the Golden State Warriors. He's reportedly going to be signing a four-year deal worth $164 million to play for the Brooklyn Nets. He'll be joining free agents Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan, who also plan to sign with the franchise. Irving's deal, who's leaving Boston after, let's be honest, a tumultuous two seasons, will sign a four-year deal worth up $141 million, while Jordan has agreed to a four-year deal himself worth $40 million. If you're counting at home, that's $250 million in three players for the next 4 years for the Brooklyn Nets. As part of the agreement to sign with Brooklyn, both Durant and Irving are taking less than the max, between $4 to $5 million each annually, to allow Jordan to get his $10 million per year. So the Brooklyn Nets also signed veteran guard, we know him, Garrett Temple, also agreed to a two-year, $10 million deal with Brooklyn. Now remember, the Nets made the playoffs last year with D'Angelo Russell. And this was a franchise that was in shambles after the Boston Celtics had fleeced them with that Kevin Garnett-Paul Pierce trade from years ago. Yet they rebounded. And the New York Knicks, not so much. Their big free agent is Julius Randle, who they gave more than $60 million to. So, we'll see. Apparently, D'Angelo Russell is being traded as well. Reports are coming out to the Golden State Warriors. So, we'll have to keep an eye on that. When we come back here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game, it'll be time for a Louisiana wrap-up. We're broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Carncrow. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Lafayette. It's right off the Pont du Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. It's all the same great flavor you're used to in Scott Opelousas and Scrot Springs, but it's now located right here in Lafayette. Yep, life just got so much better right here for us in northern Lafayette. We talked, led off today's show talking about NBA free agency. Free agency started yesterday. Pels were active. They went after, got themselves a stretch four who can shoot the three ball out of Europe. Then they turned around and got themselves a traditional three-point shooter in J.J. Redick. Got him to a two-year deal. And then they are trading for Derek Favors, the Utah Jazz big man, who can help mentor Zion Williamson and others. Plus, it was an interesting day in NBA free agency as lots of shakeup going on west to east. Kevin Durant makes his decision to go play in the East with the Brooklyn Nets. He'll be joined with Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan. The Celtics are a new look. Kemba Walker's leaving the Charlotte Hornets. He's going to be the new point guard for the Boston Celtics. Al Horford goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. And apparently reports are right now that the Golden State Warriors are trying to trade for D'Angelo Russell, the all-star point guard for the Brooklyn Nets, after losing Kevin Durant. And apparently they traded Andre Iguodala to the Memphis Grizzlies, who are expected to release him. So we'll see what happens then. Still, no decision has been made with Kawhi Leonard. We do not know where he's going to be going, whether that he's going to be remaining with the Toronto Raptors or going to the Los Angeles to play for the Lakers or the Clippers. But if something breaks, we will definitely let you know about that. Right now, though, Cody, I do believe it's time for a Louisiana wrap-up.
Let's put the spotlight on the boot. It's time for the Louisiana wrap-up.
Ray, you do believe correctly. It is indeed time for a Louisiana wrap up. Happy Monday morning to you. I'm a little jealous of you, but don't worry. For anyone listening out there, Ray has absolutely said he will be bringing me my order at the end of the show today. So I'm not too salty right now. I appreciate that, man. Let's dive right in to the Louisiana wrap up. We're going to go all around the world today, as a matter of fact, but don't worry. We'll always link it back to the boot right here at home. And we're going to start this Louisiana wrap up across the pond, Governor. We're going to go all the way to London, and that's where we start. What do you got, Ray?
Well, a former LSU Tiger made history. DJ LeMahieu, who we talked about last week, he is going to be the starting second baseman for the American League All-Star team when the All-Star game takes place there at Progressive Field in Cleveland. He made the transition from the National League, where he played for the Colorado Rockies. Now he's playing for the New York Yankees, and he's going off like gangbusters, having a career year for the Pinstripers. Well, the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox were playing a series over in London. And history was made because it was the first regular season Major League Baseball games to take place on European soil. And DJ LeMahieu became the first ever big leaguer to record a regular season base hit on European soil. So congratulations to the former Tiger. Just keeps putting more and more memories together there. Just a week after becoming an all-star starter for the New York Yankees, now he gets the first hit playing on European soil. So congratulations to him.
The dude can flat out hit. It's one of those things to where, you know, he may not ever get to the Hall of Fame, but he'll be one of those guys that when it's looked back on his career, DJ LeMahieu, well, that guy was just a hitter. That guy, I mean, he could hit. And that's something he'll always have to hang his hat on. And his name will always and forever be in the record books. The first MLB hit in London goes to DJ LeMahieu, so shout out to him there as well.
Correct. He's going to become a trivia question.
Right, exactly. He'll be the answer to all those barroom trivias on Tuesday nights.
And by the way, and before we move on, what I found interesting, and look, I kind of was like, they're playing in London. Why are they doing that? This is America's game and everything. Well, let me tell you, Cody, I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. 59,659 folks showed up for the London series game. It was the highest attendance for a regular season Major League Baseball game since 2003, when more than 60,000 folks showed up at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego for a baseball game. So expect these London series, just like how the NFL's been doing this. Now Major League Baseball's embracing it. You know, when you get nearly 60,000 people to show for a baseball game, that's a good thing.
Right. I expect the Cubs and the Astros to be sent not too much longer. The good teams are the ones they're going to send over.
There it is.
We got another stop to make on the Louisiana wrap up, but we're not yet back to Louisiana itself. We are, however, back in the continental United States. We are in Stanford, California. Ray, why are we here?
I don't know. What? We're in Stanford? Yeah, that's where all those smart people are at.
Right.
You know that, right? That's where all the smarties are at. No, well, we know Mondo Duplantis had a tremendous freshman campaign with LSU, but we knew it was going to be short-lived, right? This guy's preparing for the Olympics, and the young man's one of the best, most dominant track and field stars in the world. Well, he officially has gone pro, and over the weekend, and particularly yesterday, Mondo won the men's pole vault at the Nike Prefontaine Classic. It's one of the most respected national track and field tournaments for pros. And he had already broke both the collegiate records in the men's pole vault, obviously, in 2019. But he locked up his first professional win in his very first professional event.
One for one.
That's right, at the Nike Prefontaine Classic there in Stanford, California. And so congratulations to Mondo for just racking up wins. You know, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's just, you know, that's something that he did during the season. No. It's actually his first pro event, already breaking records and winning events in tournaments left and right. Not surprising for the former Lafayette High Lion star. So congratulations to Mondo for beginning his pro career in grand fashion.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the first win of what we can only assume is going to be many, many, many wins to come.
A plethora.
For young Mondo. We're going to go ahead and now take this Louisiana wrap-up. We're going to take it on home. We like it here. We love it here. It's the best place in the world. I am talking about the heart of Acadiana, Lafayette. What do you got for us here, Raymond?
Yeah, some interesting news came out concerning one of the best recruits in the state is right here. We know about St. Thomas More quarterback Caleb Holstein, what he can do throwing the football, but who knew that he was an academic whiz as well. He made his decision via social media where he's going to be playing his college ball, and the young man who's has offers from multiple colleges, from all different types of levels, different conferences, the whole nine yards, several programs, big name programs, have been recruiting Caleb Holstein, and he made his decision yesterday, and he has officially committed to Hartford. That's right. That's right. Caleb Holstein, STM Cougar, is going to be headed to the Ivy League. He announced on his Twitter account, very excited to announce my commitment to Harvard, hashtag Go Crimson. So Caleb Holstein, the STM star quarterback, is going to be taking his talents to the Ivy League. Cody.
If you can, you should. I mean, come on now. There's nothing to say. Look at guys, you can still make it anywhere coming out of the Ivy League. There's nothing saying that because you played football in the Ivy League, you can't go to the NFL or you can't do whatever. But if you don't make it to the NFL, the Ivy League is probably your best backup plan. So well done doing better than anything I could have ever done trying to get into college. So
yes. So this guy's not only one of the best quarterbacks in the area and in the state, he's also good enough to be able to get an athletic scholarship to go to Harvard. Once again, I do not have the mental fortitude to even try to wrap my brain around what it takes to get into an Ivy League school.
I'm not smart enough to fill out the application. I can't figure that thing's complicated. I can't figure it out.
I have enough problems just getting dressed in the morning by myself, much less trying to get into an Ivy League school. But congratulations to Caleb Holstein for making his decision to go play college ball at Harvard.
What do you say we head east, Ray, and make one more stop on this Louisiana wrap-up? I got one for you, and I think that you've got some good info for me. Let's make a stop in Sunrise, Florida. Not anywhere else. We're going to Sunrise, Florida. What do you got for us out there, Raymond?
That's right. Sunrise, Florida is where they held the 40 yards of gold race. Essentially, your NFL stars were racing each other in the 40-yard dash, going through a slight tournament style. And the prize at the end for winning the whole thing was $1 million. Now, we had two Saints that were supposed to take part in it. Alvin Kamara lost in the first round. Ted Ginn Jr. apparently was a no-show. But we did have someone from the state of Louisiana. That was Dante Jackson, the former LSU Tiger. He advanced all the way to the finals of the 40 yards of gold and lost by 0.05 seconds to Marquise Goodwin. So Dante Jackson finished as runner-up, and Marquise Goodwin ends up winning the whole thing. But you know what? Congratulations to Dante Jackson for nearly winning $1 million for running.
I mean,
in a straight line.
And it sounds like this is just the first time he'll dip his hat into this ring here, if you will. Dante Jackson going to make another run at this $1 million maybe next offseason. But good for him. I didn't have him. We discussed this last week, and I didn't have him anywhere on my radar of winning or anything like that. But
I do believe you selected Tiger Woods. Yeah,
that's probably. I deserve that. I deserve that.
but congratulations to Dante Jackson. Finishing as runner-up is nothing to sneeze at, especially after losing by 0.05 seconds. So once again, the Louisiana wrap-up was filled with things of great accomplishments, far greater than you and I, Cody, which is what the Louisiana wrap-up is becoming, my friend. We got to hit a break here on RP3 and Company. When we come back, we'll give you an update about Coach Robe. That's right. Reports came out yesterday that Coach Tony Robichaux had to have yet another surgery down in New Orleans. We'll give you the updates on that. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here off of the Pont de Mouton exit in Lafayette. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live this morning from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in northern Lafayette, right off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. You can come see me inside the store and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuff, Boudin balls, or even drive through and never leave your car. That's right. They have a drive through here, and it's pretty phenomenal. You can actually just drive through and not even have to leave your car, which is amazing. Because, well, I mean, for a big guy like me, that is very convenient. Very convenient. But look, Billy's is also sharing a home with Exxon on the Run, so pump your gas at the same time on your way into work. And if Boudin, Cracklin's, sausage aren't your thing, they're always serving pizza at the Pizza Inn inside the adjacent Exxon on the Run. So make sure to stop by today and every day. Want to touch on something before we wrap up hour number one here. Give an update on Tony Robichaux, the longtime head coach of the UL baseball program. We talked about it on last week's show that he had a heart attack on Sunday, was hospitalized. They performed a surgery. He was in critical condition, but it appeared to be stable. But then reports have come out that he had to have a second surgery. UL Athletics Director Dr. Brian Maggard said yesterday on Sunday that the family of baseball coach Tony Robichaux is asking for continued support and prayers as Robe underwent a second surgery, this time at Ochsner Health Center in New Orleans, and is currently in critical condition. Maggard said, quote, Coach Robichaux has received additional medical attention as a result of the incident suffered last Sunday. The Robichaux family asked specifically for prayer during this time. He is under the watchful eye of the intensive care unit. Robichaux is 57 years old. He had open heart surgery last Monday at Lafayette General and then was moved to Ochsner's in New Orleans. He is an institution here, not only locally, but in the state of Louisiana. He has led the UL baseball program to tremendous heights, an appearance in the College World Series, multiple trips to Super Regionals and NCAA Regionals, and he has helped produce dozens of Major League Baseball prospects. Many of them have given out their support and wished, given out prayers and asked others to keep Coach Robe in their thoughts and prayers through social media. I saw Jonathan Lucroy, he tweeted something out, and he's just one of several former players for Coach Robe to do so. Scary situation. We, of course, will be keeping Coach Robe and his family in our prayers as well moving forward. Cody, you know, we talked about this on last week's show. It's scary. You know, you interact with someone like I have in my career, both in print journalism and now on radio with Coach Robe, and he's always been he always makes our job so much easier. He always finds time, and we joke, and a lot of us in the media, whether it's myself or George Faust or whoever, always talk about, you know, Coach Robe's Robisms, how you'll ask him one question and he'll answer it with a 15-minute response and cover a multitude of topics. But he's always gracious with his time. He's a straight shooter, and he prides himself on taking boys and turning them into young men. That's more important to him than anything. Baseball is great, getting the wins, winning conference championships, going to the regionals, going to the super regionals is important. We talked about it this week. We talked about it last week when the news came out that he had suffered the initial heart attack. But what's important to Coach is helping those young men. And it's not surprising, Cody, to see so many of his former players come out and voice their concern and their love and admiration for the longtime head coach of the Raging Cajun baseball team.
No, that's not surprising at all. My favorite thing about Coach Robe has always been how he understands that, yes, there's going to be those kids that come through under his tutelage and stuff that are going to make it to the major leagues. He knows he's going to have those diamonds that come through that he's going to be able to do good things with and see a prolonged career out of. But he also understands there's many, many, many more kids that are going to come through that he is going to coach that are going to go on to work, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, that are going to go on to raise, you know, families and have wives and, you know, try to attribute to their community. And you always hear how much he teaches about off the field stuff, how about being a man, about the type of person that you can be. And the best part about it to me is that you don't just hear people talk about that, and you don't hear just, you know, rumors or murmurs of, oh man, Coach Rogue does this and Coach Rogue is really inspirational. No, Tony Robichaud will then turn around and to the media will reveal some of these things that he says to his team and give you the media, I mean, just a little peek, and to really anybody that covers or watches Raging Cajun baseball, you get that peek behind the curtain, and he'll give you a little tidbit of, like, this is what I said to my team, and that's where you get those Robisms from that are always life lessons that, yes, can be applied to baseball, but overall, more importantly, are life lessons. And that's my favorite thing about him, is not just that he teaches these young men about off the field and how to be a man and the person you should be when you, you know, join the real world, if as it were, but you also, he shows you a little bit of that. You don't just hear talks of it, but you get a little taste of it just by covering this team. And that, to me, is the best thing about Coach Rogue.
I would agree with that as well. And, you know, he's the type of, you know, you talk to so many of his former players about how he deals with them, and he's tough, right? He's an old-fashioned, salt-of-the-earth kind of coach. He pushes his guys. It's all about discipline. It's all about the process.
Accountability. To me, that's a big thing from Coach Robe, is be responsible for what you're responsible for.
Immense accountability, and he wants his players, and he doesn't want to hear any excuses, right? Never. There's never excuses. He never makes excuses for his guys. And look, he will be kind to his guys after they do something worthy of recognition in a game. But, you know, he's also a perfectionist. And if a guy screws up, he'll come out and say, hey, he screwed up. You know what? You can't walk a batter home, or you can't, you know, commit three errors in a game against a conference opponent. He's always about the accountability, and I think that's why he's had so much success turning those boys into young men, and he's done it over and over again, and that's why you see the outpouring of support for Coach Robe from his former players on social media and elsewhere. That's going to do it for hour number one here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Lafayette off the Pont de Mouton exit. Hour number two, up next.
It's time to win again with 103.7 The Game's Swinging for Cash contest. Here's another keyword, American, A-M-E-R-I-C-A-N, American. Enter the keyword right now at 103.7thegame.com for a chance to win $1,000. Good luck, and keep listening for the next keyword on Acadiana Sports Station.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me Saints drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk through the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
We felt like we should have had a better season than we did, and we have a lot of people coming back, a lot more experience, so expectations are high this year.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Lafayette, right off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. It's the same great flavor you're used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Krotz Springs, but now it's located right here locally in the Cairn Crow Lafayette area. You can come see me inside the store today and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed Boudin balls, or even drive through and never leave your car. We start off the first hour talking NBA free agency, what the New Orleans Pelicans were able to do. They locked up three guys. They got themselves a stretch four out of the Euro leagues. They got themselves a sharpshooter in J.J. Redick. And then they got themselves a big in Derek Favors, who they're going to be trading for. Reports are they're going to be trading the two future second-round picks they got with the Golden State Warriors to obtain Derek Favors from the Utah Jazz. We also talked about the other moves in NBA free agency. Did a Louisiana wrap-up and also closed out hour number one discussing the state of Tony Robichaud, the longtime head baseball coach there for the UL Raging Cajuns. He had to have a second surgery done in New Orleans. That's the latest update that we have, so we're going to keep Coach Robe in our thoughts and prayers. But we're going to start off hour number two talking a little LSU football. We got to interview Joe Burrow Friday when I went down to the Manning Passing Academy, held every year down there in lovely Thibodaux. And Joe Burrow this year is serving as a counselor. And now he's the elder statesman of the LSU offense. He's now the veteran quarterback. They're going to start the year off as a top 10 team. They're being discussed as a possible college football playoff team. And Joe Burrow discussed the expectations and everything that comes along with now entering his second season at LSU. Remember, he transferred late from Ohio State last summer, was involved in that quarterback competition with Justin McMillan and others that ended up seeing not one but two quarterbacks transfer out. And it was a learning process for Joe. But he put up good numbers. The offense got better as the season progressed. And now they've added the likes of Joe Brady, a young assistant coach from the New Orleans Saints, had been working with Sean Payton and Drew Brees to bring him in to aid Steve Ensminger in the offense to make it more dynamic, to make it more spread, more four wide, five wide sets. And this is what Burrow had to say on the new passing game coordinator, Joe Brady.
Brought in a lot of good stuff to add to what we had last year. Coach E has done a great job of listening to not only Coach Joe's opinion, but my opinion as well. Coach E has the final say, but he's doing a great job of listening to input and actually implementing it.
So what you're hearing there is that, you know, Joe has his ideas on what he wants to be, this Joe being Joe Brady in this case. Him and Steve Ensminger are going to be working together. I feel like, personally, I think Joe Brady was brought in. Steve Ensminger is Coach Ed Orgeron's guy. They're friends. They've worked together for quite a while. He's loyal to Steve. But I think what you're going to see is Steve got a little bit of a bump in pay, and Joe Brady was brought in as the quote-unquote passing game coordinator this year. And then I would see a change where Joe Brady, if things go well, and that's, you know, that's a big if. All early reports are that everything is copacetic with the offensive coaching staff, unlike in years past, and that you could see Joe Brady eventually take over as the offensive coordinator for LSU. But Joe Brady was brought in specifically to help Steve Ensminger make this offense more dynamic. They're going to spread the ball out. Now, there's a couple of keys to that. The offensive line has to do a better job at protecting Joe Burrow. He got roughed up a lot last year, got hit a ton, okay? If they want to get better, then they have to do a better job of protecting Joe Burrow. The other thing is that this wide receiving core has to step up. Now, Joe had nothing but positive things to say about the wide receivers, but we saw a lot of drop balls last year. And Joe Burrow's numbers could have been a lot better if the offensive line would have protected better and if his wide receiving core didn't drop balls left and right. And that's what they did. They dropped way too many balls. But the goal for this team heading into training camp is to get better, to get on the same page. And that's what Joe Burrow said the other day about what the goals are for this team heading into training camp.
We need to build the cohesion that we have as an offense and as a team. I think that's what training camp is really about, getting better. And if you can build that camaraderie and cohesion that really can't be broken, it's going to be tough to beat you.
Now, once again, Burrow is coming off a season where he threw for nearly 2,900 yards, 16 touchdowns. He ran for almost 400 yards and 7 more scores. And all reports coming out of Baton Rouge is that they're going to be running this RPO offense. And Burrow has long said, even dating back to last year during camp, that the RPO offense is something that he's been running essentially since he's been 13 years old. So he's not only familiar with running the ball, as we saw last year, he's quite good at running with the football. He doesn't mind getting hit. There was the whole joke last year, if you remember, where his teammates were like, you know, Joe's a tough guy. Joe doesn't like to slide, right? That was the whole thing. You got to teach. Coach O even talked about it. You know, he's got to learn how to slide. He's got to learn how to slide. And Joe was like, I don't like sliding. I'm not scared of anyone, and I don't mind taking a hit, and I don't mind giving a hit. And you got to love that moxie from your quarterback. That's great. That's just infectious with the rest of the team. The rest of the team sees their quarterback be tough, go out there, not try to avoid taking a big hit, and they love it. They feed off of that. Now, the coaching staff gets worried because your starting quarterback is out there putting his body in danger, but you got to love the mindset that Joe Burrow has, and he just loves running the football.
I mean, I love doing that. That's just part of football. That's just being a football player. And I don't really look at myself as a quarterback too much. I'm a football player. I'll take it. It doesn't really matter to me. I enjoy running the ball.
You got to love it. Burrow showed up for the Manning Passing Academy clean cut. Gave himself a haircut. The whole nine yards. You could tell, even though he is not the most comfortable at answering questions. Okay, and I noticed this last year covering the team, noticed in the spring game, and even at a place like the Manning Passing Academy, he's a little nervous dealing with the media. That said, he's still confident. You know, when you talk to him, you notice that he may be a little bit nervous, but he's an extremely confident guy. But if the Tigers can do what they can, if Joe Brady's going to come in and make this offense more dynamic, you have the veteran quarterback now. You have a guy who's let's be honest, he is the leader of this team, at least on the offensive side of the ball. You'd say probably Grant Delpit is your leader on the defensive side, him and maybe Rashard Lawrence. But if they can do a better job of protecting Joe Burrow, they'll be fine. They'll be running back by the committee. They have a ton of young prospects, recruits that they brought in. They got some other veteran guys in the backfield. It's all about the offensive line for the Tigers. Now, you know, Justin Jefferson became Burrow's go-to receiver. 54 catches, 875 yards with 6 touchdowns. They have a great chemistry together. That was apparent in fall camp. It carried over throughout the season. But somebody else has got to step up. If LSU wants to take advantage of having a talent like Joe Burrow and a talent like Justin Jefferson, a great quarterback-wide receiver combination that they have. And let's be honest, that defense is going to be absolutely salty. They got Grant Delpit, a consensus All-American, coming back. They've added Derek Stingley Jr., who's supposed to be a phenom. He has the most buzz of any LSU player since Patrick Peterson. They're going to be tremendous on defense. They're going to start off the season ranked in the top 10. They have a marquee matchup on the road at Texas in Austin, which will be a battle of two top 10 teams. They have everything in front of them. But if LSU wants to break through and be a serious contender for the college football playoff and possibly a national championship, somebody else is going to have to step up and catch balls from Joe Burrow, and that offensive line has to play tremendously more improved. I mean, it has to be night and day, because you had teams like Southeastern Louisiana putting pressure on Joe Burrow last year. If you want to win a national championship, if you want to be in the mix for the college football playoff, you can't let teams from the Southland Conference beat down your quarterback into the turf inside Tiger Stadium. That's what happened last year, with the lone exception being the Georgia game. The offensive line worked magic. Now, to be fair, the Tigers' offensive line was banged up last year. I get that. But this is the SEC. If you want to be LSU and you want to be one of the best teams in the country, you have to play better. So the two things that are going to prevent LSU from being in the national championship picture this year, if the offensive line struggles, and if no one else besides Jefferson can catch balls. Because somebody else has to. Jefferson did a tremendous job. But the rest of that wide receiving core, dropped balls left and right. So you need Stephon Sullivan, who's been moved over to tight end. You need Jamar Chase. You need Terrence Marshall Jr. and others. You need other guys to step up. And even though the offensive line had its struggles last year, you do bring back Lloyd Cushenberry III and Damian Lewis. They started a bunch of games for you, okay? But they have to play better. If they can play better, if the offensive line can play better, and two other guys in the wide receiving corps step up, it will not be a wasted season. Because this is what you do not want to happen. Jefferson's going to be a guy that's going to play at the next level. Joe Burrow is developing himself in someone who could possibly have a chance to play at the next level. You do not want to be a repeat of what occurred when you had Zach Mettenberger, a transfer quarterback who came in, who lit it up, and could throw for more than 3,000 yards and score at will. And he had Jarvis Landry, and he had Odell Beckham Jr., and had Kenny Hill out of the backfield. You had all these offensive skill guys. The offensive line was not great, and the defense wasn't very good. Or subpar for LSU standards, rather, to be more exact. So if you can improve there, you know, and we look back at those two seasons and we go, wow, they had all that talent that went on to the NFL, and they didn't win jack squat. You don't want this season to be that. You do not want to have a gutty quarterback who is immensely talented like Joe Burrow, and you have a talented wide receiver like Jefferson. You don't want to waste those. And more importantly, you also don't want to waste the defense that's going to have Derek Stingley Jr. and Grant Delpit and Rashard Lawrence on it. Okay? And Tyler Shelvin, who's apparently emerging as a legit guy who can play three downs, the former Northside High and Notre Dame of Crowley star. They have all the pieces in place. They add a dynamic young coach to the staff. You got Joe Burrow. He's confident. He's your leader. Don't waste it. The Tigers have all the tools. They have all the pieces to make a run. Whether or not they can put it together remains to be seen. We'll find out soon enough. We got to hit a break. But when we come back, we'll keep the LSU football talk going. Ed Orgeron was ranked by a college football publication. We'll get your reaction to where he was placed right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's in Lafayette. Welcome back to the show. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's location right here in Lafayette. It's the same great flavor you're used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Krotz Springs, but is now located here off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. You can come in and see me inside the store and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuff, Boudin balls, or even go through their drive-thru. That way you never have to leave your car. I do believe Cody Schutz will be doing just that later today on his way home, if I had to speculate.
Don't be telling the people what I'm doing.
I want to keep the LSU football conversation going. We talked in the last segment, led off hour number two, discussing Joe Burrow. He was at the Manning Passing Academy and about his expectations heading into camp, where he feels that this team can go. And, you know, the fact that he just loves to run the ball, and I expect to see a lot of RPO from Joe Burrow in the LSU offense this year. There's been a lot of love for LSU, preseason love. A lot of the preseason publications, whether that's Phil Steele or Athlon or Lindy's or whatever of those glossy preseason publications you like to buy. I personally bought mine over the weekend. That's the Athlon Sports College Football Guide. A lot of love being given to the LSU Tigers, and rightfully so. They're coming off a 10-win season. They won the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl over UCF. And they have a ton of talented guys coming back on both sides of the ball, led by the likes of Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and Grant Delpit. And then they have additions like Derek Stingley Jr. Tons of expectations. That matchup in week number two at the University of Texas, Tigers versus Longhorns there in Austin. That'll be a battle of top 10 teams. That'll be in primetime. LSU enters the season with a lot of respect. This is a total opposite end of the spectrum that it was last year at this time, where Ed Orgeron was talked about being on the hot seat and that LSU was projected to finish fifth in their own division, right? There was a lot of disrespect for going towards the Tigers last summer. This summer, polar opposite. Well, maybe not so much. Athlon Sports ranked the 130 college football head coaches for the 2019 season. So there's 130 coaches. And they ranked Ed Orgeron barely in the top half. They ranked Coach O as the 51st best coach in college football. Two spots behind the head coach of Minnesota, who went 7-6 last year. Cody, we'll make this our poll question. You can go to the 1037 The Game website, 1037thegame.com. You see it on the homepage on the right side. We'll throw this poll question up. Do you believe that Ed Orgeron should be ranked higher than 51st for college football head coaches for the 2019 season? I butchered that. Cody will make it sound good. It will actually read properly on the website. And yet I'm the one that gets paid to be on the air. But Cody, your reaction when you hear me say that a publication, a national publication, ranks head coach Ed Orgeron as only the 51st best head coach in the country. Your thoughts?
I don't get that. You're not going to catch me sitting here saying that I think Coach O is in the top 10 or maybe not even in the top 25. But if you're telling me he's not in the top 50, I think that's a little laughable. I don't have a full list of coaches in front of me, but to me, Coach O is a top 30 coach, for sure, no doubt, especially when you take into recruiting into account. If you're not going to say he's one of the top 20-ish best coaches, X's and O's wise, then you have to at the very least give him a lot of points and a lot of credit for the recruiting job that Coach O does. So the fact that he's all the way down at 51 is surprising to me. That's the word I'll go with.
Les Miles is at 58, by the way.
This is a weird rating system.
Hugh Freeze is 55.
So there's not a lot put into recruiting, it sounds like to me, with those three guys as low as they, you know, that's what it sounds like. Maybe.
And especially with what Les is doing with recruiting at Kansas, right?
Right.
They're going to have a top 20 or top 25 class for 2020. And we know what Coach O is doing on the recruiting trail. Willie Fritz, Tulane, is ranked 53rd. And there's Ed O, 51. So who's ranked above him? Okay, Cody, I'm going to prepare for you to be angry. Ranked above Ed O at the number 50 spot is Will Muschamp of South Carolina.
Yeah, this whole thing is flawed.
Butch Davis, the former – remember when he was the head coach of Miami and then he stepped away and they won a national title after he left and he's now coaching head coach the likes of North Carolina and others? Butch Davis at Florida International University is ranked ahead of Ed O. Willie Taggart, who led Florida State to a losing season last year, he's ranked ahead of Ed O. A man named Rocky Long of San Diego State, the Memphis head coach, Mike Norville, is ranked ahead of Coach O. Mark Stoops of Kentucky is ranked ahead of Coach O. P.J. Fleck of Minnesota.
This isn't 3 years ago.
I'm just looking. Neil Brown, who left Troy, to take over at West Virginia, is ranked ahead of him. Scott Satterfield at Louisville. Dave Doran of NC State. The Navy head coach, is ranked ahead of Coach O. Mack Brown, who's not coached in like 5 years, is taking over North Carolina, is ranked ahead of Coach O. The Baylor head coach, Matt Ruel, who went 7-6 last year in year number two, is ranked. Cody, the Wake Forest head coach, Dave Clawson. Yes, Wake Forest has a football program. They're ranked head of Ed O. So, it seems to me a kind of a lack of respect there for Coach O by Athlon Sports. We want your opinion. You can give us a call. You can call the Arco Equipment Hotline if you'd like. You can also just go to our homepage and vote on our new poll question that'll be up there shortly. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Louisiana Radio Network's own Jeff Palermo right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. We're broadcasting live from the new location of Billy's Boudin and Cracklins right here in Lafayette off the Ponta Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. It's the same great flavor you're used to in Scott Opelousas and Crot Springs, just here at this new location. You can come see me inside the store today and come get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed Boudin balls or even drive through and never leave your car. If you can't swing by today while I'm here broadcasting live, you can come by tomorrow afternoon between 4 and 7 as the good brother Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, will be broadcasting live right here from the new Billy's Boudin in Cracklins location. Now, we started off this hour talking about LSU football, Joe Burrow, his preparation, being able to catch up with him at the Manning Passing Academy in Thibodaux on Friday. But in this last segment, we also talked about Ed Orgeron being ranked as the 51st best coach in the FBS. We'll get our next guest thoughts on that and much, much more. We head out to the Argo Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He is part of the LSU Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. It's the one and only, back from his vacation, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing well, Raymond. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Now, I'm doing a live remote from a place that makes Boudin balls. So my day has started off, my holiday week has started off tremendously, brother.
Yeah, I think it goes downhill from there, to be honest with you. I don't know how you're able to continue the good momentum that you got going so far on this Monday morning.
Well, Jeff, welcome back from vacay, brother. And you come back from vacation, and then you see the news coming out over the weekend, and I'll just ask you straight up, is Ed Orgeron the 51st best coach in the FBS and only the 8th best in his own conference? Because Athlon Sports says so.
Well, I mean, right now I would say he's probably in the middle of the pack, right? If you put him as the 51st best in the country and 8th in the SEC. Obviously, I think the one thing that we've seen so far from Coach Ed Orgeron is that he's recruiting well. I mean, he's got another recruiting class here that should finish in the top three. Top five, I guess, is probably a better bet. But right now, I think it's number three, according to 24/7 Sports. So, but yet, while last season, I mean, they ended up winning 10 games, and that's great. But I think you need to. You know, finish a little bit higher than that. So I think that sounds about right. I know that number 8 seems a little bit shocking. I mean, there's no doubt he should be ranked ahead of the Arkansas and the Ole Misses, Mississippi States, and stuff like that. But he's got some room to make up. And let's face it, coaches like Dan Mullen and Jimbo Fisher and those guys have a little bit more as far as skins on the wall.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. I would agree with you. Look, I mean, in the pecking order, you got the likes of Jimbo. You got Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Obviously, Kirby Smart's done a tremendous job at Georgia. And Dan Mullen and what he was able to do with Florida last year and what he did at Mississippi State, you can make your argument for that. But Gus Malzahn, he's had his team playing for a national championship, but he seems to be always on the hot seat. And they have Ed O ranked below Will Muschamp. Do you think he's not as good of a coach as Will Muschamp?
Yeah, Will Muschamp, I would probably put him ahead of him. And then, you know, Mark Stoops, they won 10 games last year, but I think, I don't know, it seemed like Kentucky, that was a little bit of, you know, one of those seasons where they played teams at the right time and won some games maybe that they shouldn't have won. But it's obviously a tough spot in Lexington, and the Wildcats have been fairly competitive with Mark Stoops. They've been to a bowl game the last three seasons. They've won at least 7 games the last 3 years, so... Yeah, I think I'd put Ed Orgeron above Will Muschamp. I think probably still the time that Coach O had at Ole Miss, where they won, what, 10 games over a three-year period. I think that still kind of hampers Ed Orgeron. I think that I think you take that into account. Despite the team last year exceeding expectations and winning 10 games and finishing sixth in the AP poll. So they need to, for LSU, I think if you put another 10-win season behind that, I think that gets Coach O closer to at least the top five.
I would agree with that, Jeff. That's some good points there. We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game every week. Jeff, you mentioned the recruiting. It's been fast and furious. A little bit of a lull this past week heading into July 4th, but June was just a monstrous recruiting month for the Tigers. What were your impressions of what Coach Edo and his staff were able to do on the recruiting trail for the 2020 class?
Well, I think they continue, obviously, to try to beef up when it comes to defensive linemen. I think that's the that's been the big thing that they've been trying to do here lately, and they get another defensive lineman out of Live Oak High School nearby here, and Jalen Lee, who's one of rated as one of the top 10 players in the state, a kid that looks like he's going to be a really good player. I've watched him play the last couple of seasons, and he's a kid that's really just gotten better year in and year out. And that's what they needed to do, was try to continue to build up as far as when it comes to defensive linemen. And then you also get the kid out of Alabama and Eric Taylor, another four-star defensive tackle prospect. And then you got Patrick Jenkins too. They got him recently in the month of June out of John Arad High School. So, and then way back ago, you were able to get Cameron Jackson out of Haynesville, and they got another, back in February, another kid from California, Jordan Berry, who's a three-star prospect. So adding, to the defensive line, I think that's huge. That's what they needed to do. It's amazing. Here we are, July 1st, 20 commitments. I mean, they really can only sign or get verbal pledges for by a couple more kids before the December signing day comes. And you almost wonder at this point whether their recruiting class will be pretty much wrapped up. Well, it almost really is, but maybe their recruiting class would be completely wrapped up by the time, at least by the time the regular season starts against Georgia Southern.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, got to talk a little bit with Joe Burrow at the Manning Passing Academy on Friday there in Thibodeau. He seems to be laser-focused. He seems to be very receptive to what the kind of wrinkles that Joe Brady is bringing into the offense. Your perspective, what do you anticipate to see from Joe Burrow this year? Do you think that he's going to take a step up to another level this season after being part of the program for a full year now?
Well, I think for Joe Burrow, I think he'll have a good season. Last year, what was it? He threw for over 3,000 yards, if I'm correct, 18 touchdowns. What you would hope maybe is LSU offensively becomes a little bit more explosive next season. Seems like the coaches really like what they're seeing out of Terrace Marshall, who will be a sophomore this season out of Parkway High School. You know, broke his fibula his senior year of his high school campaign, and I just think that was an injury last year where he just wasn't 100%. Now he should be entering his sophomore season. That kid should be ready to take the next level. There's no doubt that the offense is going to look different. You're already talking about up-tempo, no huddle. Now, will the results be there? That's hard to say. I mean, that really is. There's going to be a less of a emphasis on max protection and getting the ball out quickly. I think that helps when you got a guy in Joe Burrow who's been around a while now, going into his second season at LSU. The kid should feel really comfortable at this point. So I think for Joe Burrow, this should be a good season. We saw what Zach Mettenberger did, entering his second season after transferring from LSU. He put up huge numbers. Now, I don't know if there's a Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham on this football team, but he seemed a lot more comfortable his second year, really his third year at LSU at that time. You would think Joe Burrow, you already could tell the comfort level is there. I mean, he talked about when he came on the campus a year ago at this time, he was just trying to figure out where he was going to live and how to get to the football ops building. This year he doesn't have those issues, and so that comfort level should go a long way to improve productivity.
I'm talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, will the success of this season hinge on if the offensive line is improved?
I think it will. You know, now Joe Brady talked about in that last coaches caravan stop in Metairie that all they need is just five guys on the offensive line and give Joe Burrow protection for, you know, 2-3 seconds, and he's going to get rid of the ball. Now, that all sounds great on paper. That probably looks good on 7-on-7 drills. But when the bullets start firing, is that exactly what we're going to see? Is Joe Burrow going to be the quick decision maker that Joe Brady is expecting him to be? If not, then this offense probably continues to frustrate LSU fans as it has for the last decade. You still also need, I think, to have a bit of a running game. You know, we talk so much about the passing game during LSU off seasons, but what are you going to get out of the running game this year? Obviously, you're bringing in one 5-star prospect and then another good 4-star running back, and Chris Curry looks like he's ready to take a step to being more of an impact offensively. But are you going to be able to run the football? And can this O-line run block? I mean, we've seen LSU's offensive line have success against the lesser opponents, but when they go up against the big boys, they struggle at times. You know, Texas is going to have some good defensive linemen in week two. It'll be a huge test for this LSU line to come through. So I still think that going into this season, you know, maybe probably outside of wide receivers, because I still feel like you really don't know what you have. You know, Justin Jefferson should be pretty good. He's going to catch a lot of passes for you, but are some of these other guys ready to step up? Beyond that, I think the O-line, once again, is a question mark, much like last season. And last year, it was very frustrating. They struggled quite a bit on the O-line, and I would say it ended up, even as all the question marks we had going into the 2019 season, I think it ended up even performing worse than anybody would have imagined. And that's why, you know, Joe Burrow really, especially towards the end of the season, took quite a pounding at the end of the year because that old line was just falling apart.
Talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, one non-LSU question for you. Are you surprised how well Les Miles is recruiting at Kansas? He right now has a projected top 20 or top 25 class for the 2020 recruiting cycle. Are you surprised by that?
You know, he's a great recruiter. I mean, that's what I think kept him around as long as he lasted at LSU, even though he wasn't willing to change much offensively. I know a lot of people will say in 2007 he won a national championship with Nick Saban's players, but there were contributors from that team, that guys that he recruited. You know, Ryan Perlew in particular, first guy he visited once he got the job. And Perlew was big, especially in that SEC championship game. So I think I'm maybe top 25, that seems pretty high, but you know, he's been one of the best at it when it comes to recruiting. Now, let's see what that offense looks like. Let's see if they open it up a little bit. I think you have to, playing in that conference. I think you just can't pound the run game in and throw the halfback toss, you know, a dozen times during a game. You obviously got to be a little bit more open to it. I'll say this, you know, I think Les is certainly a recharged individual, taking a couple years off while he might have been bored and going stir crazy a little bit. Probably gives him new perspective on football. I think had a chance for him to take a look at what everybody else was doing in college football and really analyze the game. And I don't think he's I think you'll see that Kansas team. Heck, I mean, all they got to do is win six games this season, and it's a success. And there's no reason why they can't. Their non-conference schedule is pretty weak. If they are able to do well there and win a couple games in the Big 12, boom, they're in a bowl game, and that's a successful first year for Coach Les Miles.
Jeff, appreciate you making time for us as always, brother. See you in a couple weeks. We'll talk to you next week, but then also see you in a couple weeks there at SEC Media Days in Hoover. That should be interesting, to say the least, my friend.
Yeah, it always is. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Raymond.
That's Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio joining us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two, talking a little Eli Manning, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Lafayette.
I like to work with the young kids that first day because you see them and they're just raw. They don't really know the terminology. They don't know what a three-step or throwing off plan or hitching up. They don't know these things. You talk them through it, and then all of a sudden Sunday you come out and you say, all right, everybody in line, give me three-step, working to your left, and boom, they're doing it and they know what's going on. And you see the improvements in 3 days, and you see them, you know, getting more confident in what's going on, and that's great to see.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game, and we're broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's new location here in Lafayette, right off the Ponte Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. It's the same great flavor you're used to getting in Scott, Opelousas, and Krotz Springs, but now it's right here in Lafayette. You can come see me inside the store and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed Boudin balls, or even drive through and never leave your car. We talked a little bit earlier in this hour about Joe Burrow. I ran into him, talked to him at the Manning Passing Academy on Friday. Also there, of course, were the Manning boys. There's Archie and his three sons, Cooper, Peyton, and Eli. Got to catch up a little bit with Eli Manning. He's entering what possibly could be his final season with the New York Giants. And they have competition now. They've drafted a young quarterback high in the first round of the May draft in Daniel Jones. That's the young man, the signal caller out of Duke, who was coached by David Cutcliffe, who obviously coached Eli at Ole Miss and also coached Peyton as a coordinator at Tennessee. This is what Eli Manning had to say about the young man who's essentially there to take his job.
It's been good. You know, Daniel's a good kid. You know, he's a former camper. I've known him for a while, and you know, he's done a good job. He's, you know, just getting his nose in the book and studying and trying to learn and trying to kind of earn the respect of his teammates, and he's done a good job of doing that. So, you know, it's my job to, you know, do my job as best I can, but to be a good teammate. You know, I've always been great in the quarterback room, helping everybody out, and no different this year with Daniel.
So, a terrific answer there by Eli that he still is a competitor. He still wants to keep his job, but he is going to help along the young man who is essentially drafted to replace him. It's the same situation that Eli found himself back in 2004 when he was the first-round draft pick, and Kurt Warner, a previous Super Bowl champion, mentored him. This is what Eli had to say about getting ready for the upcoming season. Training camp is just around the corner. This is what the two-time Super Bowl champ had to say about that.
Very excited. Excited for this season. I think, you know, as I said earlier, just that second year going into this offense, not only myself, you know, more prepared, but just, you know, the offensive line, the receivers, tight ends, even the coaches, just kind of knowing what the skill set of all our guys are. I think everybody will be more prepared. We'll get off to a faster start and be more successful. So, you know, I've worked hard just to stay in shape, keep the arm strength going, working with our receivers and everybody getting on the same page. So, ready to get going.
That's Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl champion, getting ready for his 16th season in the National Football League. That's going to wrap up hour number two here for RP3 and Company live from Billy's Boudin here in Lafayette.
Live and and local. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. LSU All-American Skylar Green.
You know, as a young athlete growing up, you always want to do the game-winning something, the game-winning shot, game-winning catch. And I thought the biggest part for me right there, that Georgia catch, that solidifying everybody seeing that LSU for real.
Ragin' Cajun hoop star Elfrid Payton.
It's exciting to be able to represent, you know, your city, you know, somewhere where you grew up at and put that jersey on. See that it says New Orleans on the front of it. I think it means a lot.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Right with the delivery, and that's grounded. Passed it out of Beckerman into right field. Reddick scores. Stassi around third coming home. The throw to the plate up the right field line from Santana. As Stassi scores, into second base goes Marisnik, and the Astros lead 5-1. Jake drives in two.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Lafayette. It's the same great flavor you used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Krotz Springs, but right now here in Lafayette, off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49, that's exit 1C. Plus, Billy's is sharing a home with Exxon on the run, so you can pump your gas at the same time on your way into work. And if Boudin, Cracklins, and sausage aren't your thing, they're always serving pizza at the Pizza Inn inside the adjacent Exxon on the run. So no excuse for you not to stop by here for Billy's Boudin or the Exxon on the run here off the Pont de Mouton exit. We'll get back to New Orleans Pelicans free agency here coming up. We'll have Andrew Lopez, formerly of the NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. He'll be joining us at 8:32 talking all things Pelicans free agency. But right now we're going to talk a little Houston Astros baseball. They had kind of fallen down. They had a little bit of that midsummer lull, if you'd like to say, losing 8 of 10. And then the April champions, as me and Cody like to refer to them, the Seattle Mariners came to town, and the Astros took care of business, sweeping the Mariners, including yesterday winning 6-1. And the Astros have turned things around, even though George Springer, who's still trying to return to form, did not get a hit yesterday. He did score a run, but Jose Altuve went 3-for-5 yesterday. Alvarez, the young prospect out of Cuba, the 21-year-old, he DH'd yesterday for the Astros. He went 2-for-3. And they got a strong performance from Josh Reddick as well, 2-for-4. Garrett Cole, meanwhile, he was sensational. 7 innings, only gave up 5 hits, 1 earned run, only walked 1, and then struck out 10. And then you saw Colin McHugh come in. That's probably going to be his new role, which is perfect for the young man coming out of the bullpen as a reliever. He pitched 2/3 of innings of work, only gave up 1 hit. Ryan Pressly also came in, pitched 1/3 of an inning. So the Astros improved to 53-32 overall on the season. They are having a tremendous season, one of the best teams in the American League, as we know. And look, they had fallen off. They had lost 8 of 10. They just weren't themselves. And they needed to get back to their winning ways before the All-Star break. Because that's the thing, you have those few days off, you lose guys because those guys will be going to play in the All-Star game. Once again, the All-Star game this year is at Progressive Field in Cleveland, home of the Indians. So you want to build as much momentum as possible heading into the All-Star break and to be able to turn things around like the Astros did by sweeping the Mariners, taking all 3 games there at home at Minute Maid Ballpark is key. Now, the Astros still have a couple more games before the All-Star break. They'll play a 2-game set. They're off tonight, but they'll be playing a 2-game set at the Colorado Rockies. That'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday. You can listen to both of those games live right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Pre-game Astro launch will begin at 6:30 on Tuesday night. First pitch at 7:10. And then same on Wednesday, July the 3rd. There'll be no pregame for Astros on Wednesday night. as Five Guys Stories and Lies will be from 6 to 7:10. They'll lead you into first pitch for that as well. And then the Stros wrap up the first half of the season before the All-Star break with a three-game set against Mike Trout and the Los Angeles Angels as they come to town to Minute Maid for a weekend series, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game. So not only do the Stros get to 53 wins, they get the three-game sweep over the Seattle Mariners. They also had even more good news over the weekend as they have added even more players to the American League roster for the All-Star game. In addition, as we talked about, Michael Brantley being named a starter, as well as George Springer. Now, Springer was named a starter for the American League by the fans, despite missing nearly a month to a hamstring injury. And Brantley, who's having a phenomenal year, picked up in free agency by the Houston Astros on a two-year deal. He spent the first decade of his career with the Cleveland Indians, so he gets to go back and play against the team that he used to play for in their ballpark as an All-Star. So in addition of having two of the three outfielders being Houston Astros, they also had, of course, Alex Bregman, the former LSU star. He'll be starting at third base for the American League team. But now there'll be a total of six Houston Astros headed to Cleveland for the All-Star game. In addition to the three starters that I already mentioned with Brantley, Springer, and Bregman, right-handed pitchers Garrett Cole, Ryan Pressly, and Justin Verlander were also named to the 2019 American League All-Star team on Sunday via the players' vote. So the fans got to determine the starters, but then the players have their vote, and they elected to send the Houston Astros number one pitcher on the rotation and their number two with Verlander and Cole. Verlander's having a tremendous season, appears to be a strong candidate for the American League Cy Young Award. Garrett Cole has pitched extremely well as in addition. And, of course, Ryan Pressly coming out of the bullpen. They will join their other three teammates, Brantley, Bregman, and Springer, for the All-Star game there at Progressive Field in Cleveland. That will be July the 9th. The Astros will have six players at the All-Star game for the third consecutive season. They will be the only team this year with six players at the Midsummer Classic. It is Cole's third selection of his career. That's a sneaky thing. We think of Garrett Cole as a good pitcher, but now he's a three-time All-Star. Three-time All-Star. Yet we don't consider him as one of the best pitchers. When you think of best pitchers of even the American League, Garrett Cole does not spring to mind, but he's had just a sneaky good career. Three All-Star selections for him now. It's Verlander's eighth, and Pressly made his first All-Star team. So the Astros are sending six guys to the All-Star game. But does that mean that they're done? Because injuries take play a role in this with the fan vote and the players' vote. Now, the Astros have already matched a franchise record with three All-Star game starters. The six representatives that they have right now headed to Cleveland ties a franchise record set in each of the past two seasons. So we'll see if someone backs out of the All-Star game due to needing rest or due to an injury and see if there's possibly yet another Houston Astro that could be headed to Cleveland. But it does seem that the Astros have put away a little bit of that lull. And this happens because the Major League Baseball season is so long. It's so long. And what's even more remarkable in the case of the Astros is that here's a ball club that had three of their top four hitters out for at least a month or more during the first half of the season. Jose Altuve, former league MVP, heart and soul of this team, missed multiple injuries, and he wasn't even right to begin with. He had a little bit of that power burst early in the season, but his hitting average was way down. He wasn't getting extra base hits. Then he got injured. George Springer, the man known for his leadoff home runs, He gets injured. He misses more than a month. And then we already talked about Carlos Carrera. He suffers an injury that he won't even be back until after, sometime after the All-Star break. So you lose three guys, a former league MVP, multiple All-Stars, and yet they still found a way to win 50-plus games. And right now, here we are, the beginning of July, and they are a 53-win team with everything that they've had to deal with. It's quite impressive. Cody Schutz, we usually play this game later in the week with you.
Yeah.
Guessing the, our little game when it involves
yeah,
the
yeah,
answers.
I was. It's funny
since
you bring
we'll
it
be,
up. Go ahead. Sorry.
Since we will be off 4th of July for the holiday, and then Friday we'll have a best of show, let's go ahead and play your favorite Houston Astros game right now.
Yeah, I was. That's really funny that you bring it up, because I had just a couple of minutes ago Google searched this exact thing. I was going to throw it your way before the end of this segment. So we are on the same page. Great minds, as they say, Raymundo. But it is that time of the week again. Get ready, one and all. RP3, come on down. We have got our time to guess. How many games in first place are the Astros? They are still currently in first place in the AL West, despite the struggles of this past week. They're fresh off of a sweep of the Seattle Mariners. I will give you this other tidbit of information. The Astros are in first place. Second place team is still the Texas Rangers. Third place is the Athletics. So how many games do you think the Houston Astros are in first place?
Well, I do know, Cody, that during the stretch where the Astros lost 8 of 10, that the Rangers did the opposite. They had won 8 of 10 or 8 of 11, and they'd cut down that lead to around 5 games. Now, I did not pay attention to what the Texas Rangers did over the weekend, so my guess of what the Houston Astros lead in the American League West is right now, today, July the 1st, is going to be 6.5 games.
I need to get a button to click when you get it exactly right. This is the first time you've gotten it exactly right, Ray. Ding, 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 ding. Like, you are the winner. The Astros, 6.5 games ahead of the Texas Rangers. The Astros, 53-32 overall. Not too shabby. And the first time you've been spot on. So well done there for you, RP3.
It must be broadcasting live from Billy's.
That must have been exactly what put me over the top.
That's
exactly what it is. We'll take a peek over. Your Bravos, the Atlanta Braves, are in first place in the NL East. They hold a 5.5
That's correct.
game lead over the Phillies there. So the Phillies trying to make a push. The NL Central, the Cubs and the Brew Crew, they are knotted up, tied atop of the NL Central right now with the Cubs and Brewers. The Dodgers might be the best team in baseball, so you know they're in first place. They're over the Rockies by a dozen games already.
I also like to point out that my team, just like your team, Cody, we didn't have to spend $400 million on one player to be in first place. How's that taste, Philadelphia? How's that taste?
Good luck, Phillies. Good luck.
That's right.
I'm cheering for Nola. That's who I'm cheering for him.
We can cheer for him, but almost half $1 billion for one player. Yeah, that always works out.
That's what happens when your mascot's the Philly Fanatic.
The Philly Fanatic running the front office of the Philadelphia Phillies right now. We got to hit a break here on RP3 and Company, live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins here in Lafayette. But when we come back, we'll talk a little Elfrid Payton. Is there a spot on the New Orleans Pelicans for the former Raging Cajun now? We'll discuss right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here, right here in Lafayette, off the Pont de Mouton exit, off of I-49. That's exit 1C. You can still get the same great flavor you used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Carot Springs, but it's right here in Upper Lafayette. That was Elfrid Payton we heard coming out of the break. He held the Elfrid Payton's camp, around 250 kids over the weekend at the Alero Center. The Gretna native, who wrapped up his first season with the New Orleans Pelicans, was asked, where do we go from here? You know, is there going to be a spot for the Pels? he is, from jump, Alford has expressed that he wants to remain in New Orleans Pelicans. You heard it there once again when media talked to him during his camp. But he also understands that this is a business. You know, Alford was a lottery pick coming out of UL, was named to the all-rookie team, played for the Orlando Magic for a few seasons, and then was traded to the Phoenix Suns, and then decided to come here on a one-year deal to play for the Pels. He was injured, had to deal with not one but two different injuries that sidelined him for the majority of the first half of the season. But once he was healthy, he was a big contributor for this team. He filled in admirably for Drew Holiday. Down the stretch, he had all those triple-doubles. He has the franchise record for most triple-doubles in the season. He's tied with Chris Paul for that. And he had the most consecutive triple-doubles in franchise history as well. So when he was on the court and healthy, he was very effective. And it's not as if they're going to have to break the bank to retain Elfrid Payton. But is there room on the roster now with the three moves that they've already made during free agency, signing the Euro big like they did, the stretch four, bringing in J.J. Redick, the sharpshooter, and now trading for Derek Favors? Now, they could still do some other moves to free up enough cap space. Once again, it's not going to cost a fortune for them to bring back Elfrid Payton, okay? They could probably bring him on the vet minimum. But there's only so much salary cap space. So do they take one of those other players maybe that they have that are on the bench? Maybe they trade those away. Maybe they cut them to be able to free up enough space. We don't know. We don't know how much David Griffin, the new vice president of basketball operations, values what Elfrid Payton brings to the ball club. We know he's a capable point guard. We know he can play defense, right? These are two things that Alvin Gentry very much covets out of his guards. And Gentry is a huge Elfrid Payton fan. And once again, it's a local kid, right? He's from Gretna. He went to school there. He went to college in state. He was a Raging Cajun star. But I don't know if they have enough space under the salary cap, and I don't know if they have a spot for him on the roster. You would love to see him be able to come back. I mean, if you could have Alfred come back, you'd love to be able to make that happen because he is a local product, and he's not going to cost you a lot, and he could back up Lonzo Ball. You already have Josh Hart there. It could be the combo. You drafted the young man out of Virginia Tech late in the first round, but he's more of a shooting guard. He's more of a number two. That's what Drew Holiday plays. So if you really value depth and you want to bring another veteran guy in that can help, Elfrid Payton could be that guy. He absolutely could be that guy. I mean, I, for one, would love to see him be able to come back to the Pels. He played, like I said, well for them last year when he was healthy. When he was healthy. That's the whole thing. He played in 42 games last year for the Pels. He averaged nearly 30 minutes per game, 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 7.5 assists. Those are good numbers. Those are very good, reliable numbers for your point guard. So we'll see. Now, here's the other thing. The Pels, if they're going to make a decision concerning Elfrid Payton, it will have to be done soon because he is going to have suitors. Because this is the way free agency works. People are going to look at what he was able to do when he was healthy last year, the fact that he had those triple-doubles. There's going to be teams that are going to be interested in him. Charlotte could be in the mix. You know, hell, Charlotte could be one of those teams that could be looking at Elfrid Payton to be a starter, just not a bench player. So Elfrid Payton's going to land somewhere, the former Raging Cajun star for sure. But will it be in New Orleans? That remains to be seen. You'd like him to be able to stay. But once again, we haven't really heard anything from David Griffin on that. You know, and Payton is a bit of a veteran, but he still has a huge amount of upside. He still has a ton of upside. He's only 25 years old. So you're getting a veteran player, but he's only 25. And once again, he had to deal with the ankle and the hand injuries last year. That cost him the majority of the first half. He's a Gretna native, UL alum. And those five straight triple-doubles? Remember, that's a feat that's only been accomplished by four other players in NBA history. Okay? Five consecutive triple-doubles. That also included, in that stretch, a pair of 16 assist performances. So this guy is your traditional point guard. He can slash to the basket, and he can dish. And he plays defense. The only other players in NBA history to have the five consecutive triple-doubles, as did Elfrid Payton, Russell Westbrook, league MVP, and Hall of Famers Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson, and Wilt Chamberlain. But as you heard there, the former John Arrett High School star, he said it three times in that segment. He understands it's a business. He understands it's a business. He understands it's a business. So that's letting you know that even on the eve of free agency hitting over the weekend where he was hosting his kickball tournament down there on the West Bank, that he knew that there was a distinct possibility that he was not going to be able to come back. Probably the trade with the Los Angeles Lakers bringing over Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart probably let him know that his future may not be in New Orleans. I know us here in Acadiana would love to see him back with the Pels. He could be a great leader and a great mentor to some of those younger players like Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball. But we'll see if they can get it done. They can get a deal done. If they can afford it or not. Or if Elfrid can get himself a good payday elsewhere. We'll have to see. We'll talk more about Elfrid Payton and the New Orleans Pelicans and their free agency with our next guest, Andrew Lopez, formerly of NOLA.com. He'll join us live right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins location here in Upper Lafayette, right off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. That's the same great flavor you're used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Krotz Springs. Now it's just located here in Upper Lafayette / Cairn Crow. You can come inside and see the store and say hi to me if you like and get some of those world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed Boudin balls or even just drive through and never leave your car. So make sure to come check us out today. Reminder, the good brother, Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, will be broadcasting live here from the new Billy's, Boudin's, and Cracklin's location tomorrow from 4 to 7, hosting Bumper to Bumper Sports. So make sure to tune in for that as well. Right now, it's time for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He just wrapped up a stellar career as a reporter for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. And we're going to close out his career in style here as he's going to give us the latest on the New Orleans Pelicans, free agency, and Elfrid Payton. It's the one and only, our good friend, Andrew Lopez. Lope, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I wish I would have got the invitation to come out there by you. I could have come to that live if it was in Billy. I didn't realize that's what you were going to be this morning.
That's on me. That means I owe you a couple Pepper Jack Boudin balls the next time I see you. That's basically how that's going to work.
Hey, that worked out for me.
Andrew, Lope, let's talk a little bit about free agency. I love all three of the moves that the Pels were able to make. It started off early with the big man, the stretch four, out of the Euro leagues. What can you tell us about their first free agent move yesterday by the Pels?
Yeah, everything kind of got started yesterday when Nicola Melli comes over from Italy. Well, he's an Italian guy. He's actually got an American mother. I was digging around looking at that and stuff. His mom was a former volleyball player who played in the Olympics with the U.S. But Melli is a guy who. He's a stretch four. He kind of got things started early yesterday with that. He's 6'9". He's 250. He's exactly what you want out of a stretch four in today's NBA. So that was a good get for them to be able to take that on early in the morning, on Sunday. So for them to get him, I mean, he's a guy who shot 42% from three over the last four seasons that he's been in Europe. So that was a good get to kind of get the day started yesterday.
That was a good get. That gives them a stretch four, which they're wanting to do, and also gives them a little bit depth. The guy shoots over 40% from three-point range. That is a tremendous asset because this team needs shooters. But it was their second move in free agency that really locked up that three-point shooter that they were needing. How surprised were you that they were able to snag J.J. Redick, Andrew?
It was one of the more surprising moves of the day, especially a lot of people on ESPN agreed with that. And I think it's because of what it actually means for the Pelicans to get a guy like J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. is at the, you know, on really, I don't want to say the back end of his career, but that's what, I mean, he's 35 years old going into next season. He's in a chance where he could be looking for championships, you know, and he made the move to say, you know what, I want to play for the Pels. That means I want to play here. So, to me, that means that J.J. is kind of bought into the vision. He's kind of bought into what he's seen so far. He did a lot of work with Trajan Langdon before. He's familiar with Trajan Langdon. Obviously, it's another Duke guy. So for them to go ahead and get a guy like J.J., it tells me that the perception of this team has changed across the league for guys like that to want to come here.
It reminds me also, Andrew, a lot of when J.J. made the decision to leave the Clippers and signed with the 76ers, a young team as well. Yeah. He was going to be the veteran guy that came in there, and it feels a lot like that. What's his role going to be, though, in this offense? Is he going to be a starter, or is he going to be a guy that's going to come off the bench and give him a lot of minutes and be able to shoot threes?
You know, it's interesting because they can go both ways with it. He can be the guy to start. I don't necessarily think you're going to bring Brandon Ingram off the bench, but maybe you bring Brandon Ingram off the bench as like super guy. He can run the second unit, but still end up playing the starters minutes. Or maybe JJ slips into that role. JJ's coming off his best season, scoring wise at least in his NBA career, which is interesting to think of. That he just completed so many years, and he's just getting to that point where he can still have career seasons. He averaged 18 points last year, so he can most definitely give you starters minutes. But I tell you what, the fact that you're trying to figure it out right now, that's at least a very good problem to have if you're Alvin Gentry, is to figure out, oh, who am I going to have right here? Whereas last year you may be trying to figure out who can I put in any starting lineup, and now you can, you know, work your way to this part.
We're talking with Andrew Lopez, formerly of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Andrew, but then they closed out the night strong in what I feel is probably the best move. They're trading for Derek Favors. This is a reliable post player that can mentor not one, but two of the rookies that the Pels drafted this year. And he gives you a reliable veteran right off the bat, and you don't have to pay a fortune for him. How did that go down? And that, once again, seemed to be a sneaky move.
Yeah, Derek Favors. So let's back it up to set up how Derek Favors became available. Bojan Bogdanović, who had a great end of the season with the Indiana Pacers, signed a four-year, $73 million deal with the Utah Jazz earlier on Sunday, or agreed to. The only way
that
were going to have a cap space.
Say that again, Andrew.
Oh, Bojan Bogdanović.
Say that amount of money again.
Oh, $73 million.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
$73 million. The only way for them to have that much room was going to be for them to get rid of Derek Favors and his $17.6 million. So they had to go and find basically a taker, or they were going to have to just straight up cut him. And so the thought league-wide was they were just going to cut him. They were going to set him free. Zach Lowe was the guy who kind of said, you know, they're working on the deal. And then, you know, I was able to break the part about that it was actually a trade and not just a straight accord. You know, they weren't just straight picking him up. But to me, that was the sneakiest deal. He can come in. If he would have got on the open market, he would have commanded a lot. You would have had other teams bidding for him. So by 4 years of the Pels, you get in there, you go in, you kind of knock it out a little bit. You say, you know, he's our guy. He's the guy we want. We'll give up assets to get him. They gave up, I think it was a 2021 and a 2023 second round pick that they got from the Golden State Warriors. That's what Woj reported this morning, early this morning. I don't know why Woj was reporting that at like 4 a.m, but he did. So that's where you're at with that. But, you know, Favors is a great defensive center. He had one of the best, you know, defensive rim protection numbers last year out of anybody in the league. He's a big reason as to why, you know, that team was, obviously they had, you know, Rudy Gobert, who was the defensive player of the year, but he was a big reason why the Jazz was so successful defensively the last couple of years.
We're talking with Andrew Lopez, formerly of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. I want to dive a little bit deeper into Favors because, obviously, he can be your starter right off the bat. You can have him play the five. He can also play the four, but you can have him as the five. What kind of role can he provide for the young man who they drafted out of Texas in the top 10? And also, what could he possibly do for Zion Williamson when they're on the floor together?
Yeah, I definitely see him. That was always one of the more unique situations in the NBA, is to have Derek Favors at the four with Rudy Gobert, because you didn't really have that much spacing with Favors. He's not a fantastic three-point shooter. He started to step out and shoot it a little last year. I think he had 78 attempts, but he only made 17. So to me, he is definitely better suited as the five in a lineup, and I think that's what you're going to see next year is he can be the five. He can also kind of really help in the development, like you said, Jackson Hayes, a number 8 pick in the draft. So there's some moves to be – I mean, there's some lessons to be learned there for sure about how he can maybe teach both of those guys how to get to being, you know, a better defensive center in the NBA. So he's done obviously an excellent job at it the last few years. So excited to kind of watch that, especially if you're a Pels fan, to see where exactly things can go next year. Derek Favors is a great teacher, and that's exactly what you got two good veterans yesterday. That's what yesterday to me kind of boils down. So you got two really good veterans who can come in and help this young team. You already had, you know, going into the draft, you had one of the younger teams in the league. So the fact that you were able to get to this point was very big.
We're talking with Andrew Lopez here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Andrew, I'll straight out ask it. You talked to him over the weekend at his kickball tournament, the former Raging Cajun who just wrapped up his first year as a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, Elfrid Payton. I know some of the fans, including here in Acadiana, would love to see him go back. I think he wants to go back, but he also knows that it is a business. Is there any room now for Elfrid Payton on this team, or is he going to be going elsewhere?
I think he's going to be going elsewhere. There is, at least at face value right now, you can see maybe a spot where they need another point guard on this lineup. Obviously, right now, it's Lonzo Ball and then a bunch of guys who can actually still make plays. Drew Holiday, obviously, but he obviously wants to play the two. Frank Jackson, probably better suited at the two. So there is, to me, a spot here, but I just think he's going to move on. There was some talk about Charlotte being a location for him. I could see New York being a location for him right now at this point. So it's going to come down to, I think, you know, where he feels comfortable. I mean, he can still be a starter in this league. I think he certainly feels that he can be a starter in this league. So that's where he's going to look. He's going to obviously look for chances to start. But, you know, if it's a backup situation, obviously a lot of teams are going to be already set with the way they're at right now. He's obviously going to look at that and be, you know, and find the right situation for him. But I think ultimately he's going to end up, I think, elsewhere. And I think, you know, you can find an answer on that maybe as early as today.
We're talking with Andrew Lopez here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Lope, do they make any other moves? Is there any other thing? Maybe they get rid of Etuan Moore. Do they do anything like that to possibly get another veteran in there or something else? Are there any other moves that the Pels you think are going to be making?
I don't think they're completely done. I don't think anything is going to be earth-shattering at this point. I don't think we're going to see any other, you know, bigger trades or anything like that. But I do think at this point, you know, Etuan is an interesting case. I could see a scenario where Etuan is moved somewhere. You know, he is on a good contract. If somebody is looking for a guy to shoot right away, but I don't think there's going to be at least one smaller move. I think, again, I do think they add at least somebody in that point guard competition. But I think they kind of like where they're at right now.
Talking with Andrew Lopez here on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Andrew, with the way this team is configured right now, you say that there's probably going to be one more minor move left, but with what they've done in free agency and the draft and with trades, and with so much uncertainty in the West now involving the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, is this a playoff team in your opinion?
I think they're right there. I think this could be an 8 seed type team. I'd like to see how some things shake out with some more roster moves or really just kind of health overall. You want to make sure that if a guy like Lonzo is okay, you want to make sure a guy like Brandon Ingram is going to be okay. Once you lock in that those guys are going to be completely healthy, then you see, and then you want to start to see, okay, well, let's see how this team meshes together. It's all there, and I can tell you that's exactly what they were shooting for. If you're looking from the outside, you want to feel good about what happened yesterday. You can absolutely feel good about the fact that they made moves. Yeah, they made moves to kind of still look down the road, but they also made a move to basically say, look, we think we can compete now. We think that we can get in here and maybe, I'm not saying they can go, you know, obviously win a title next year or anything, but they are making moves to say we're going to be competitive next year. And I definitely think they're in a position to make a push for a playoff spot.
We're wrapping up things here with Andrew Lopez, formerly the Times-Picayune and the NOLA.com here on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Andrew, I just want to ask you one. I just want to say something to you, brother. You and I have been friends for a very long time. I remember us covering the state softball tournament in Sulphur when you first began starting off there at the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com as a prep reporter, and you moved your way up from preps to LSU, then to the Pels. I know things have come to an end now for you. I know it's bittersweet, but looking back, man, what would it mean to you being a kid from the New Orleans area to work as a sports journalist there at the Times Pick?
It's kind of funny. So my dad is in the newspaper business. He's not a writer. My dad delivered newspapers for as long as I can remember. And one of my first, like, chores that I remember doing is actually, you know, tying up old newspapers, tying up returns. And so I've always literally, like, been around the Times-Picayune as long as I can remember. So when I was 19 and I got a call, like, hey, you want to come string some prep games? I was like, are you going to pay me? Are you going to pay me to come work for this newspaper? I was like, sure, absolutely. So for me, it was a dream come true very early for me. I always kind of thought that, you always obviously wanted to work for your hometown paper. It always is something that you want to do. So the fact that I was able to do that, it was a great blessing. I'm actually sitting in the parking lot right now. I'm about to turn in my equipment. So it is a very bittersweet day, but, you know, the Picayune is not going away. It is right now a merger of a sense. Maybe not in the sense where all of my, you know, fellow employees are going with them. But it is a chance where, you know, the Times-Picayune won't die today. You know, there is going to be, I think, some other moves. I think you could end up still seeing the Picayune soon. Obviously, you know, if you happen to see the newspaper today, the top billing was the Times-Picayune. We're going to see how it goes. I would obviously love to see a situation where the Times-Picayune stays long term. I think they're going to try to figure out the name thing kind of as we go along. But it's been a great journey for me. And I was glad I was able to kind of play this game until the end last night.
Well, Andrew, man, you're one of the best in the business and even one of the better guys. And I appreciate you making time for us as always. And you'll be sorely missed down there. And I can't wait for to see what else your career brings you, man. And I know you will be a free agent for a very brief amount of time, brother. So thank you for everything that you've done, man.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Andrew Lopez, one of the best in the business, breaking down New Orleans Pelicans for us here on RP3 and Company. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this live edition of RP3 and Company from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins here in Lafayette when we return on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklins, their new location here in Upper Lafayette. You can get the same great flavor you used to in Scott, Opelousas, and Crotch Springs, just located here now off the Pont de Mouton exit off of I-49. That's exit 1C. If you didn't come see me today, you can come see the good brother Ben Love tomorrow. He'll be broadcasting Bumper to Bumper Sports live from 4 to 7 right here from Billy's. You can come inside the store, check out the world-famous Pepper Jack stuffed boudin balls, and even go through the drive-thru and never have to leave your car. I want to thank all of our guests today, Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, and also want to thank Andrew Lopez of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. Also, once again, want to send our prayers and our well wishes to Coach Tony Robichaux, who is still in critical condition down there in New Orleans at Ochsner following another surgery due to the heart attack that he suffered a week ago Sunday. So we will keep you abreast of his recovery and his situation throughout the day here on 103.7 The Game. Cody, real quick, we put up a poll question. Tell the people what it is and where do we stand on the results.
We want to know from you, do you think Coach O is better than the 51st head coach in college football so far? 100% of the early returns say yes, he is better.
I agree to that as well, and so does Cody. Tremendous show. Thanks, Cody, for making it all happen back in the 237 Roof Studios, powered by Lafayette Roofing. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Up next, it's the Dan Patrick Show. Y'all have a great day, and make sure to come out to Billy's Boudins and Cracklins right here off of Pont de Mouton in Lafayette.